All-Star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
The tax on me, quite frankly, are a tax on science.
Dr. Fauci needs to cut the crap.
There's been no area where they have messed it up worse than in foreign policy.
Bring me back. I'll secure the border in 3 days.
Joe, pay attention.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
Yeah, well, we haven't. I can tell you that. Hey, welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Hopefully you're following us there on odyssey.com if you're on the app or on the website at 971talk.com/Cox. And we're live on Facebook every morning. So we appreciate you being on here with us, and a happy Thursday to you. You know, I've been following this story out of Arizona because it is a big story nationwide. There was a poll out yesterday that there are a surprising number of people who identify as conservatives and Republicans who think that the election results might end up being overturned somehow. And if the dominoes were to start falling, the first domino would be what's going on in the state of Arizona. Now, I don't know what the mechanism is for that to happen, because it would be unprecedented in this country. And my guess is it would be tied up in court for a long time. So I've heard people discussing it. I'm not quite sure how they think exactly that it should happen. I could understand thinking that it should happen, but I don't know exactly how that would happen. So what we've been doing is following what's going on down in the state of Arizona. We're trying to get a hold of Jordan Conradson this morning, who has been covering all of these Arizona audit stories. And this is what's important about it. And we had them on yesterday, in fact, discussing it, specifically whether or not Arizona will be followed up by Georgia, which might be followed up by Pennsylvania with this forensic level audit. The media is losing its mind about this, right? In fact, you know, Vernon Jones, he's a state representative from down in Georgia, and he's been pretty vocal about what he thinks has gone wrong in Georgia. When the media covers this story in Arizona, one of the questions they ask is it legitimate? Because it's a private company that's been brought in to audit this, because you need the expertise of somebody that can do a forensic level audit. It's not simply a recount of what's there. And the media keeps asking the question, well, how do we know that this is going to be legal, what they're doing? Yesterday, Vernon Jones continued to get that question. Here's how he answered it.
Did they break the law? All I'm asking is, man, I want to be very respectful. Here's my question. When you mentioned who's funding this audit, and you said private people, including OAN, right?
And the audit has not been clear about
okay.
his funding.
Okay. But whoever is funding it, if it's private dollars, is that illegal?
If private money is paying for a public audit, I don't know if that breaks any laws or not.
Wait a minute. If private money is paying for a public audit. Okay, I'll take the next question.
Yeah. If private money is paying for a public audit, is that legal? The reporter didn't even know the right question to ask. All they're doing is repeating the talking points from the left regarding this issue. And that's the sad part about it. The people who claim to be against it are against it because I can only assume they're afraid of what it might show. What if now there's only like a 11,000 vote difference in Arizona? What if it ends up that they find 11,200 people or 15,000 people who voted in two states and therefore their vote in Arizona is invalid? Or they voted from an illegal address and therefore their vote should be thrown out for that reason? Now, this will all be going through court before it happens. But what if? What if that happens? We don't know. Maybe they won't find that. But the point is, we should have a better idea soon. This is Ken Bennett, who's the liaison for the Arizona Senate. Listen.
I'm told that we'll probably be finished with the counting of the ballots by the end of this week or sooner. And then all the resources will shift to the paper evaluation. But you can already see that paper evaluation has been increased significantly. There's now 32 working tables and another probably 16 positions that are on the floor awaiting equipment and things like that. So once the counting is over this week sometime, then all resources will shift to the paper evaluation.
Yeah, so that's just an update on what's going on. If you'll notice, and I think this is brilliant on their part, but also very necessary. You don't have Ken Bennett or anybody representing this audit coming out and saying, well, here's what we found so far. Stand by. That's not how they're playing it. And maybe when they finally make their announcement on what they discovered or didn't discover, it's a whole lot of nothing. Either way, they should be given an opportunity to do that, because this will end up being debated in a court of law somewhere. Even if they were to find enough votes to overturn the results in Arizona, it'll be debated in a court. Then we find out whether or not they're going to do it in Pennsylvania, which we heard from a state senator there yesterday about whether or not we're going to be able to do this in Pennsylvania or Georgia or Michigan. These are key questions that we'll find out moving forward. We have a little trouble getting a hold of Jordan, our guest, who is down on the ground there in Arizona. We'll give it another shot. What we'll do here is get to a quick break. What say you? All right, here's my question. Are you one of those people who think the election results from 2020 could or should be overturned? What's your evidence? How do you think that would work? I'll get to your phone calls next at 314-241-9797. Welcome back. We've been talking about what might go on in Arizona. We've been trying to get a hold of reporter Jordan Conrads, and we got a bit of a time difference between here and Arizona, and I'm thinking that may be the fly in the ointment here. But we'll find out. We're still going to try to get him on, because what's going on out there is important. My question was, if you're part of that group of folks who still thinks somehow the 2020 election results could be overturned, I'm just anxious to hear the way you think that's going to happen. Let me get to Tom here on line one. Tom, what say you? Welcome into the show.
Oh, hi. Good morning, Mike. I'm very proud of you for having this on, because I haven't heard. I've been following the Arizona audit for a while, and thank you. I think that the state legislatures can decertify the elections if they find enough. And I bet they're going to find, because there's enough sworn affidavits in that area to show it. I think that they're going to find probably 75 to 150,000 illegal ballots in that county.
Well, and they might. I mean, but when I hear the word what a legislature can do, I go back to what the FBI can do and what the FBI should do. And like, for example, Hillary Clinton should probably be wearing orange these days, but she's not. And Hunter Biden should probably have been charged for lying on his form 4473 about being a drug addict, but he's not, and he won't be. I mean, these things can happen, but I've lost faith that they will, Tom. I don't know that there's the political will to overturn the results of a national election.
Well, if it's been stolen and it's been cheated, of course it should be overturned.
I would agree that it crazy, should. I just don't know that it's going to happen.
Right. Well, you know, here's the thing. We need to set a good example for our kids and our grandkids. We've got seven grandkids. I mean, one on the way. So we've got six and one on the way.
Congratulations.
I want our kids to grow up in a world where their virtues, their honesty and integrity, and this would not be showing if this was false and illegal. It should be overturned. Everyone should want it overturned. It's just crazy.
I'm with you. No, and thank you for the phone call because I appreciate that. I'm anxious to get that point of view. I agree with you completely, and this is what the left is worried about. This is what the people that want to push HR 1 are worried about, right? They're worried that this is going to show the what happened in November 2020, how last-minute election changes, mailing out mass ballots, whether you knew people still existed or not in the state, whether you could harvest ballots, that all of that contributed to votes that should never have been counted. That's what they're afraid of. And if that's what the Arizona audit shows, then they've got some questions to answer. Forget a January 6th commission. There needs to be a November 2020 commission looking at how the election was affected, impacted by these last-minute changes and why we can never allow that to happen again. The left can't afford for that to happen. Let me get to Steve here on line two. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Happy, congrats there, Grandpa.
Hey, thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Hey, I have a scary theory. I'm thinking if they were able to turn around and say, okay, well, this was taken away, so Biden is not legitimately the president, and to keep everybody happy, since the vote didn't show Donald Trump winning, they would revert back to Speaker of the House. Scariest part there is Nancy was Speaker then. She's Speaker now, which then makes her President of the United States. I can't believe I would be saying that. But a plus side I should see coming out of this, now the courts will not be able to turn around and say, you do not have standing.
Well,
so come next election cycle, they can revert back and say, look, here's proof we came up with, evidence we've shown. Because like you said, it's going to go through the courts. So once it gets into the courts, they can't make that claim that you don't have standing anymore.
That's true. Steve, thank you for the call. It would probably be tied up beyond 2022. Hopefully we've regained the House by then. Phil, I got a little over a minute. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mark, you know as well as I do, it should be overturned if they find the evidence, which I'll go to my grave knowing the Democrats cheated, regardless of evidence or not. We all know that. It's never going to happen. There'll be too many judges, politicians, FBI who's done nothing but be corrupt in the last 10, 15, 20 years. Too much egg on their faces. They'll never let it happen. There is no way. And another thing, I want to know from Joe, what's the biggest threat to our country? Is it white supremacy or is it global warming? Because I've heard him say both things in the last 6 days.
Yep. It's a good question, Phil. I think I do have at least part of an answer for you as to why they'll never let that happen.
Because they're asshats. That's why.
We'll be right back.
It's very dangerous, Chuck, because a lot of what you're seeing as attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science. Because all of the things that I have spoken about consistently from the very beginning have been fundamentally based on science. Sometimes those things were inconvenient truths for people, and there was pushback against me. So if you are trying to, you know, get at me as a public health official and a scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science. And anybody that looks at what's going on clearly sees that. You have to be asleep not to see that. That is what's going on. Science and the truth are being attacked.
Chris Wallace, our guest this morning from Fox News Sunday. Chris, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Boy, the Anthony Fauci story just keeps getting more interesting. He's now starting to refer to himself in the third person like Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's look, I'm and I know I'm different than a lot of your listeners. I'm a fan of Dr. Fauci, and I think he's actually generally been a force for good in this whole process. But and here's where I'm going to agree with a lot of your listeners. I think he's been out too much. He's talked too much. And, you know, to say an attack on me is an attack on science, I understand the point he's making, but it just sounds bad. It sounds like, look, he's made mistakes. Everybody made mistakes. I think he made fewer mistakes than a lot of other people. But I think sometimes the best comment you make is the one you don't make, when you just keep quiet.
You know, I thought it was interesting. Josh Hawley, our senator, kind of went after him on that yesterday. I believe he's one of the ones that has called for Dr. Fauci to step away. Go to cut 9, please.
If you take the Stalinist position that you are personally science, you are personally truth, why should we listen to anything you say?
Yeah, and it shows you that he's really not interested in a fair and open inquiry. He's not interested in the facts, and he's tried to prevent the facts from getting to the American public. You know, the American public deserves the truth. They can be trusted with the truth. They deserve to have the truth. That's why I think that the U.S. government needs to declassify everything it knows about the origins of COVID-19. But we need a congressional investigation. Dr. Fauci needs to testify about his role in any gain-of-function research. And we also need to know if people within the U.S. government tried to prevent the government, our intelligence agencies, from figuring out and finding out if this, in fact, did have a lab connection, the COVID-19 virus.
Yeah, Chris, you and I talked about that last week. I mean, the media bears some responsibility for jumping on Donald Trump when he first suggested it. But the impact of what happened then was that it was not investigated. And now we need to go back and do that. Do you think Dr. Fauci is going to be on board with that?
In the end, it shouldn't matter. I mean, I disagree with plenty of things that Josh Hawley says, but I think he's exactly right. The whole point of science is you need to have an open mind, and you know nothing is really ever settled. You're always open to new facts, and you know, to kind of lock the door and say. And I understand why he thinks that this whole thing has become too political, and some of it has been used to against the science, but you can't equate yourself with science, and you can't close the door, and you know you want to keep investigating. I'm not quite sure I understand why one holds him responsible for a more vigorous investigation. I mean, Donald Trump was the president back in January and February. He did plenty of stuff. He says, I'm not sure it's true, he says that he closed the border with China over Fauci's objections. If he wanted to push China harder, he could have done it. He was the president. Yeah. Fauci was just a guy, and he didn't. And frankly, I'm very pessimistic. And I'm all for investigations. I would love to get to the bottom of this, less for the politics of who was right and who was wrong, and much more for the question of, you know, how do we prevent this from happening again? But, you know, a year later, do I think China is going to cooperate in any kind of investigation or opening up the data from the Wuhan lab? It may well have come from the lab. I don't know. You don't know. Josh Hawley doesn't know. We'd all like to know. And anything we could do to get China to be straight with us. But, you know, I'm not sure they were ever going to be straight.
Yeah.
And they certainly aren't going to be straight 13 months later.
That's true. Chris, how many years have you anchored Fox News Sunday?
I don't know. This is a trick question. More than 17 and a half.
17 and a half. I love the fact that everything gets recorded over the years. I don't know if you've seen this yet or not, but somebody at the National Pulse dug up an interview that Dr. Fauci did on C-SPAN 18 years ago in 2003, where a physician called in and asked him to retire back then. This is pretty funny. Listen, hold on.
I've been at the NIH a pretty long time, and it seems to me that during your tenure, our ability to control infectious diseases hasn't improved, but in fact worsened. And even basic health tips such as you can't use antibiotics to treat viral infections has not been adequately communicated to the public because, for instance, people will come in demanding an antibiotic for a common cold, which, or any other viral infection, which has certainly served to create more resistant strains. Not saying that this has anything to do with this particular epidemic, but don't you think it's time that you step down and let someone else who has a more effective message?
Actually, no.
So that was a doctor calling in about the SARS epidemic back in 2003. So Dr. Fauci's been down this road before. I think he's a survivor.
He's a survivor. And look, yeah, he's been a solid public servant. I mean, he was one of the people leading the charge against AIDS when that was a very lonely battle back in the 80s. And President Reagan, for instance, wouldn't even recognize it for a long period of time. We're not, none of us are indispensable. We can all be replaced. We all know that. And you know, I'm not saying Fauci should or shouldn't step down, but, you know, that's one of the things that I think people have to examine is, you know, staying too long at the fair. Whether you want to leave on top, you want to leave on your own terms, and you don't want to stay too long. I'm not saying he is, but that's something I think everybody has to take a good, hard look in the mirror, particularly if you've been around for such a long period of time.
Hey, I listened to your interview with Joe Manchin last week, and I wanted to play a clip from that, if you don't mind. Here we go.
Sure. Quickly, if I can, Senator Manchin, about that. First of all, you have made it clear, and I'm not going to ask you again, you said that you oppose scrapping the filibuster. The question I have is whether or not, and you say you hope that that'll bring the parties together, the question I have is whether or not you're doing it exactly the wrong way. And hear me out on this. If you were to keep the idea that maybe you would vote to kill the filibuster, wouldn't that give Republicans an incentive to actually negotiate? Because old Joe Manchin's out there, and who knows what he's going to do. By taking it off the table, haven't you empowered Republicans to be obstructionists?
I don't think so, because we have seven brave Republicans that continue to vote for what they know is right and the facts as they see them, not worrying about the political consequences.
Yeah, I've got new respect for him if he's empowering Republicans, I'll have to tell you, Chris.
Well, I mean, here's my point. I really like that question. I thought about it a lot. And my point, just to make it clear to your listeners, asking a question is not taking a point of view. I'm simply trying to suss the guy out and get him, you know, to hopefully to give a new answer. If I say, are you against the filibuster or are you going to kill the filibuster? He's going to say no for the 100th time.
Right.
And the argument is, you know, that when people leave things in doubt, any negotiation, that makes people have to be more flexible. If there's a downside risk at some point, Manchin might kill the filibuster. Does that make Republicans more likely to negotiate or less likely?
I think
it makes them more likely.
Yeah, that's a fair question. It might make them. Of course, they walked away from. It sounds like they walked away from the talks over infrastructure. Regardless of that, hey, I'm going to run out of time here. Do you have guests planned for this weekend?
Yeah, we do. I mean, the big story this weekend is that it is Joe Biden's first foreign trip as president after 5 months in office. We're going to have Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, who I suspect is going to find some fault with the Biden foreign policy, both in terms of dealing with allies and also a few days from then, the summit with Vladimir Putin. And we're also going to talk to the Democratic chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Robert Menendez, about that. So Menendez and Pompeo on Fox News Sunday.
All right, Chris, thank you as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Wallace there, a host of Fox News Sunday. Quick break, 314-241-9797. Time for your calls when we come back.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples.
Somewhere I hear Charles Payne of the Fox Business Network saying, "Told you so." Because you know that Charles has been warning us for a long time now that inflation would rear its ugly head. A whole combination of things, right? But an economy ready to explode, oodles of government spending that was unnecessary, right? intense pressure on the building industry, the home sale industry, forcing prices through the roof. So this morning, nobody should have been surprised to see the CPI numbers come out. Mm-hmm. Consumer prices jumped 5% in the month of May from a year earlier, far faster than expected. It popped the most since 1992. The CPI showed the strongest year-over-year reading since 2008. What does that mean? It means things are costing you more. And it means inflation is going to remain at the center of the debate and should over how we continue to falsely force up prices. Energy, I mean, the president, yesterday we found out because of his actions, Keystone Pipeline's done. But the Russians are going to get to finish their pipeline in Europe, which Donald Trump tried to stop. So we've got energy prices going through the roof, housing prices going through the roof. I mean, pretty soon we're going to have to start selling our homes for parts because lumber's so expensive. The parts in your house may be worth more than your house, honestly. Tongue in cheek, but you get my point. It's going to start when restaurants are having to go out and offer $500 bonuses to get restaurant workers to come in and serve food. They're not eating that expense. That's going to get passed on to you through higher prices. And that's where the inflation is coming in. Just so you know. So I thought I'd pass that along this morning and let you know. We about out of time? I thought so. That's too bad. All right. Well, listen, have a great Thursday. We never have enough time. 4 hours just fly by. Download the podcast. Go to Odyssey.com or wherever you download your podcast. Schedule it and listen to all the important information that you missed this morning. Kilmeade's coming up next. The Annie Fry Show. Congrats to her. She's due to have a baby today. We're hoping to have that good news for you tomorrow morning. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.